and they drew their opinions from Shas. So they basically are the walking Shulchan Aruch. The Bishayisif paskens halacha based upon what he finds either by the Rosh, he finds by what the Rambam writes, right, and so on. So here we have, interestingly enough, that the Rosh Lemaisa, when he came to pasken halacha, he was quite careful, and specifically while he was still in Germany, when he came to give a get, he was not very quick to exercise a get, but rather he would take along with him the opinion of many of Rabbonim, of his colleagues, to see what they have to say about the situation, to see if they agree with him. The true Rosh, go back, call him. Klal Aleph, Klal Beis. So he writes in Klal Mem Gimel, but there are Klal Hoya, the Yonim be Germania, it says, the Yonim in Germany, Kabdonim Uzehirim, that they are very makpit to zero in and to be able to be focused and to be very careful. And so when he came to Inyonim, especially like Inyonim of Gittin, the Rosh was extra careful to also to solicit to hear what the opinions were the other Rishonim as well in this time. Also, when it came, for example, to Din Tiris. So Din Tiris, many times, you know, litigants, one would be, let's say, a plaintiff. So he would like to produce proof that the defendant owes him money. So one of the ways, one of the best ways always is if you have a shtar, you have a document. So when a document or a certain contract, if they were old, so the Rosh would not just accept it right away, because there's any minor suspicion that maybe it could be forged or something like that. So the Rosh would really scrutinize it and try to find out the source and the validity of documents. So just because he had a document, the Rosh didn't immediately act upon it. But rather he'd go check very carefully as much as possible to make sure that in fact that the documents in fact are valid. Especially as we mentioned, they're old. If they've been old, so then the suspicion might be even stronger that they may actually not be kosher. So there was even the smallest suspicion that the documents are not authentic. So what would he do? So the Rosh felt that the documents cannot be relied upon, but the Rosh was concerned that maybe the plaintiff, okay, just go to a different bezin. In other words, okay, maybe the Rosh doesn't accept it. So what does he do? Well, he's going to go, he's going to take the document, and even go out of town, go maybe to a different bezin, and we're not as careful. You know, yeah, you produce the document, so we have the document, the signed document, and so on and so forth. If the Rosh had suspicion that the document was not authentic, was not valid, the Rosh immediately, what he would do is, he would write a letter which would be sent out all over. In other words, he's assuring, the Rosh is prohibiting any dayan to get involved with this din Torah. Ad kedei kach. It shows how careful the Rosh was. If he felt that it was not right, if it was not authentic, was not authoritative enough, he would not allow the situation to lend itself to a mix-up elsewhere and to have somebody else really go ahead with it. But he asserted it would prohibit, and apparently you can see if the Rosh prohibited, no other dying would get involved. Once they hear the message of the Rosh, this din Torah, you know, is out of, it's out of commission here. This is not something that can be handled until the authentic proof comes along. This clarity that the Rosh always had regarding Paskin and Shilas is something that became very, very well known. And as a result, it gained him a tremendous reputation all over. This already was true in Germany, not only in Spain later. But this was the Rosh. He always was this way. And therefore, even his Rabbeim, always agreed with him. They always agreed with him. They agreed that because he was very, very thorough. And the Rosh makes note of it himself in his writings, which is mentioned in Chuvus HaRosh. He writes as follows. He writes in Klal Dalet. He says, Kol Elo HaDvarim Danti Lifnei Rabbeisa BeAshkenaz. All these things, he says, I presented in front of my Rabbeim still in Germany. V'lohoye Odom Aral HaDvarim. No one challenged me. No one challenged me. Again, we find also that not only Toledo, where the Rosh actually lived in Spain, was his authority, but even outside. Actually, outside of Toledo, Shilas came from Lilia. They rained upon him. They just came from all over, wanting to hear his opinion. The Shilas had become so plentiful, or let us use the word burdensome, because one person just couldn't handle all that. So then finally he limited tshuvas lahalochi would only be for dayonim and rabbonim. In other words, for lay people, let them ask the local rabbi. So the first, you couldn't handle it. Everybody's shyless, every neighbor, everybody can't. You can't. So finally he says, what I have to do, I'm going to limit. If dayonim, rabbonim need an answer in the shyless, he says, those I'm going to answer. But generally speaking, people from the kohol, he wasn't able to take it. As a matter of fact, in Klal Yudzayin, the Tshuva Sarosh, the Rosh does answer to a private person, to a layman, and you see what the Rosh writes, and the Rosh says, Lule Ahavoscha, if not for the fact that we have an Ahava, the Rosh said that I have an Ahava, a strong feeling of love for you, Alufi Yikiri She'eri, must have been some sort of a relative also, Harad Rabbi Yankiv, Lohoyisi Niskak Lahashivcha, I would not allow myself to be able to answer you, Ki Eini Rogel Leheshiv Kim Lidayonim, Loshna Rosh. He said, it reminds me, I believe it was maybe 1973, 1972, something like that. I produced my first sefer, and I went through Moshe Feinstein, Moshe, for Haskomet. I remember then the Rebbe was just telling me, I guess it was been a heavy day, or a difficult day. She said to me, would you believe it, she says to me, that people ring the doorbell to come to the Gorla Dor to ask a simple shaylach on the mezuzah. Can't they go to ask another one? Does everything have to come to Rav Moshe, says? So this was the thing. So there was. They came to him. Well, you see, apparently the Rosh Taka saw to it that he couldn't handle it. And the simple shaylach, you know, says, go ask somebody else. And he would limit his shuvas to the Yonim and to Rabbonim. also, the... and the communities basically would all follow whatever he said. It was not, it would be limited to Toledo, as mentioned, but also as far as Cordova, which is on the other side of Spain, and Sevilla, all these places. As a matter of fact, the Rush writes in a place, he says, I'm going to write a letter to the community over there, then I'll be Mishtadli, says, that the community of Cordova, and by the way, Sevilla is called Ishvilia is Sevilla, Seville. To follow, he says, what I'm saying. There are also sometimes you had very difficult cases. The difficult cases that basically were handled in different bezins, actually mamish for years. It just dragged along for years because they couldn't come to any solution. So finally, they realized that the only one who will come up with a solution would be the Rosh. So all the difficult cases, after they just went through the system, and they couldn't produce a psak, could not produce a psak, it came to the Rosh, and the Rosh was the one actually who came up with a solution. As you find in quite a number of tshuvas where the Rosh Rashi says, this case came to me after it was sort of like being handled by different batidinim, and finally, it came to me that he should be the one. There's a matter of fact, there was a so-called famous case between two business people. It was a question of one giving a tremendously amount of money, he says, to another yid to invest in business. It was supposed to be sort of like a loan. At the end of the day, it was a question whether he paid back the loan. The plaintiff said he didn't pay back the loan. The other one said he did pay back the loan. And there was a situation that went from Bezin to court, from court to Bezin, back and forth, and became a very tremendously very popular case. Each one got sides basically who believed him. The other person had people, acquaintances who believed him, that it became such a sort of like a famous case in Spain that the Rush receives instructions, he says, from the Queen. Her name was Maria de Molino. She died in 1321, and she writes to the Rush that he says that she asks him that he should be the one to finally to come down with a psak. The tzivsa olai, she commanded me, requested strongly, she ekach kol shtori hatainis, that I, the Rosh, should receive, take all the different, right, the different tainis, all the different, the two sides, to hear what each one has to say, right, and to take a look and to try to come to a solution. Now, I'll give a little bit of the lashon, which is a very interesting way it's presented. This is in Simon Kuf Zayin, 107, Shuva over here. And he writes as follows. Aloydeh divrei rivois, regarding, he says, the quarrel. Shenisatzmo behem, the quarrel that involved one yid was the name Reb Shloime ben Al-Bagal. The other one was Reb Yisrael ben Al-Chadad. Interesting names. He says, "Ze yomim vishonim." This is a case that's going on. He says, "Days and years." The huchavu kama moinim, and the venue changed back and forth. Medin Yisrael, ledinu masoilam. It went from the bezin, went to the court. Medinu masoilam, ledinu Yisrael, and then went back. He says, from the court, went back to a bezin. The ato, and now says the Rosh Nisgalgil Hadover, it just shebou, he says, haloim, he says, it now have come, he says, bitzivui givirotenu, our mistress. Right, who is the mistress? Hamalko, he says. The Malko, and he mentions her name here, Barosha Tevis. The heviuli kozva, they brought to me, he says, her letter, a letter from the queen. Shehi tzivsa alai, that she is actually commanding me, or, you know, strongly requesting, she'ekach kostor atayinus, I should take all the different, right, all the different opinions that are being presented, all the different claims, right, the different documents, she'nasu bezois hatviya, that were made regarding the claims, before nai, he says, v'she'odoin, I should judge, al pi tanuseyem, halolu. Is what appears to me to be the truth, and was straightforward. Interesting. The Rosh says it's a very difficult case for me now to get involved in. Gam ki kosheli moed. Interesting. Losh and Rosh. Gam ki kosheli b'moed moed. Very, very difficult. Ishtadl b'din kosher kazeh, because this is something that already had been gone through backwards and forwards. Kame yomim lifnishon anoshim yikorim v'dechbot. By the way, the people involved were highly respected people, both on the Jewish side and even, as it says, on the non-Jewish side. He writes, anoshim yikorim v'dechbotim chachme yisor v'chachme umos. You have many intelligent judges on the other side too. The Rosh acknowledges, he says, and yet he couldn't come to a solution, he says. And also he says the two litigants are difficult people. Listen to Rosh. V'gam kehemo baladinim koshim. They are baladinim koshim. He says, so because envelin is carried over in his yashvadat, and they couldn't come to any, right? They couldn't come to any solution. Bechol divrei chachomim, with all of these chachomim, all these wise men, the dayonim, the judges, ashishtadlu, they tried. Adayim azeh. So Veiche Konis, he writes very humbly, I expect me, he said, just now, all of a sudden, to jump into this case. He says, Mekom Okoim, he says, nevertheless, Ani Espi Gvirotenu Hamalke, he says, I will keep and have to fulfill her command, is my wish, I mean, I have to do. Eshmoir Vesmamoro Ani Tzorech Lekayim. So his Rosh concludes with a tefillah. That tefillah to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because now he has to make a big Kiddush Hashem also, and the queen is involved. So he says, "Umevakesh ani mahakel shofet tzedek." So I'm spowless to Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is the shofet tzedek, the righteous judge, sheyeh be'ezri, that he should give me, right? Siyata d'shemaye, he should be stand to my side. Lizrois ulehover tevin mabor, to be able to sift, he says, the straw, to bring out the kernels of wheat, he says, from the straw. V'ya'are ruach kotshem imorim, he should give me, he says, the Holy Spirit min shemayim, lodin dinem islamito. And there's a very lengthy tshuva regarding that. And he ties the plaintiff is right. That's what comes out from the tshuva. And he says that the defendant was beating around the bush, and you can tell, he said, he was not telling the truth. Very interesting thing, a few things, a lot of psychology even the Rosh used, a lot of psychology to see who's telling the truth, which is without, usually you think about having direct proof, sometimes a lot of very strong circumstantial evidence. From the way the defendant answered, the Rosh says, if he would really be innocent, he should have, in other words, because what happened was, the defense they already paid. Just imagine, it was an exorbitant sum. Imagine that the person's going and asks, says, you owe me $1 million, and they paid it. So now he wants $1 million a second time. He should have screamed, what? Give me again $1 million again? He said, we got paid you. See, the fact that he wasn't so upset that he's being asked the second time shows they never paid it the first time. Because you can see the amount, and now he's being asked the second time. Even it was even very difficult to pay the first time, tremendously difficult, as Rosh goes on to say. And now he's being asked the second time, according to his. So how is he taking it so easy? He said, I paid. He said, no. So this is one of the situations that Rosh also took into consideration. So it's very interesting. Again, we see one of the Gedolei Hareshonim, how he's involved in every aspect and how he deals with halacha. Okay, everybody says, so let's go here now to the Yochis Chaim. The Rosh. I think we're going to Yom Sheni finally. Okay, this is the shir number 17 actually today. So Yom Sheni, right, the first part of Yom Sheni is it's Daf Yud Zayin, and it's the first sif is sif Chof Zayin. Okay, the Rosh says over here, laharchik gaiva v'kas. A person should remove from himself any inyonim of gaiva, which is dangerous pride. V'kas, also anger. In addition, the Rosh says, u'ge'ar b'yetzer hara. See that you scold your yetzer hara. When the yetzer hara is coming to you and trying to entice you, is trying to ensnare you, it's not just enough just simply to try to stay easily, lightly shake him off, but rather you should scold the yetzer hara. Who's trying to deceive you that you follow the desires of your heart. That's what the Yetzer tries to do. Enjoy yourself. Whether it's right or wrong, just do what your heart desires. So the Rosh says that Uga'ar, Gar means you should scold him, yell at him, right? Clearly, make sure that you are very, use all the kliyos that you have within your power to see, to chase that Yetzer Hara away. And then he says further, Va'al Yeist, the word yeist, interesting, is a lotion that's found in Mishlei. Val yeist means don't allow him to deceive you. Kidrochov zach v'yoshor. Don't allow him to deceive you that he means well, that he is pure and that he is straight. That's what the Yeshua would try to give you, his impression, that whatever he is doing is straight, it's right, it's okay. Don't allow yourself to be taken in, to be taken in from the Yeshua. So we take a look here in the bottom, let's take a look at the beer. From Moshe Sternbuch, on the words laharchik, right, gaiva v'kas. The Rosh Hashanah is again, laharchik gaiva v'kas, to see, to remove, to distance, gaiva, pride and anger from your behavior. Now, what the Moshe Sternbuch wants to point out, because the truth, the union of gaiva was already mentioned already before. As a matter of fact, on Yom Rishon, the first thing that we learned on Yom Rishon, Aleph, was lehisrachik mina gaiva. The Rosh already mentioned it right in the beginning of the Yom Rishon. Why is he mentioning twice, right, and warning us and encouraging us to be careful to separate ourselves from gaiva, from haughtiness, from arrogance? That's something that he mentioned already, and that's a question that other Mefarshim on the Urchas Chaim also address themselves, because the Rosh doesn't simply repeat something. When the Rosh repeats something, it's because he wants to add something new, a new dimension to this. So when he says over here laharchik, when he says gaiva v'kas, so Rav Moshe Sternbuch suggests the following, because there's two types of gaiva. He says kof al inyan ha-gaiva. The Rosh mentions twice the idea that we should distance ourselves or remove gaiva from ourselves. L'hoi Rosh, to teach us, shekol suge gaiva asurim, that all aspects of gaiva are osur. And here are the two aspects. One aspect of gaiva is bein imis goy b'maloisof. A person basically is boasting about his milus. He thinks about himself, maybe how smart he is. Right? Or he thinks of himself, what a great tzaddik he is, or he thinks about himself, maybe how handsome he is, or maybe how successful he is in business. That's one type of gaiva. That he tributes, right? He tributes all types of milus to himself, all types of great things to himself. There's another type of gaiva. He doesn't think of himself to be anything special, but everybody else is below him. That's the difference. So not that he's raising himself up, but he's putting everybody else down. That's also gaiva. So he says, "Ubeinim toyin shuom lemeinim yuchid." Or even if a person would say to him, "Okay, I'm not anything really special. I'm acherim gruim meminet." You know how low I am. They're even lower. So that's also a gaiva. It's all the gaiva. Even if you're saying to him, "Okay, I'm not that great." Okay, but if you say to somebody else, "Is worse than you, is lower than you," that's also a form of gaiva. And that's what the Rosh is telling. It doesn't make a difference in what shape or form where the gaiva takes place. But b'chaloyf and laharchi gaiva v'kas. And then, right, the Rosh said, "Uga'ar b'yetzer hara." See that you scold your yetzer hara. So what does that mean? So he says, Nira, he says, "Dahayne lilchoim boim milchemes hayetzer." It means that you have to actually wage war against your yetzer hara. V'loy kemoi elu hamashtikim oisoi b'mashem mevatrim loikitzas. There are those that say to themselves like this: the way to get rid of my yetzer hara is I'll give in a little. By giving a little, he'll let me go. Says, no, it's not a way. There's no such thing of giving in a little. You give him in a little, then this is going to be opening the door until you really be caught up in his web. You have to go full war, full scale war against the Yetzer Hara. That's what it means. Scold the Yetzer Hara. Don't allow yourself to have any shutfus or any shaykhus, any partnership in any way with the Yetzer Hara. So like Yeshligor boy, but rather scold him. The Yetzer Lev Hodom Ra Minurov, because the person is endowed with this Yetzer Hara right from his youth, and therefore the only way to get rid of it is clearly is to try to eradicate it and try to wage full scale war and not to give in any aspect. And when the Rosh said these words again, Va'al Yest, what does Va'al Yest mean? As we had these words, Yud and Shin and Tes. Don't let the Yetzer Hara, right, deceive you, right? Don't let him deceive you. So he goes in the next piece, he says, Val Yest means, what he also means is, Loilis Vakechem Yetzer Hara Hatoyen Shazmainim Ishtanu. In other words, don't even get into any debates with the Yetzer Hara. Some of the Yetzer Hara will say, you know, things he said that were forbidden or were taboo in years gone by, times have changed. So times of things that were not acceptable years ago, it's ours, but today's different. You're living in a different age. You're in the 21st century. He says, Kirak, the Yetzer, because then the Yetzer Hara really has you completely in his hands. Kirak Yemirit, only the Yetzer Hara will clearly see, Shahachlota Etzachon Nechusha, that you have confirmed clearly, right? You are confirmed that you're not going to listen to him, Yaniach Yisrael, then he's going to let you be. But when the Yetzer Hara sees Shemishchashev Ato Bedvarov, but the Yetzer Hara sees that you are taking his words, right? That you are considering something that what he's saying. V'umargish Ato Mahaseis, and the Yetzer Hara has a feeling that you are sort of like hesitant. Then he's going to really jump and pounce on you. If he recognizes a weakness in your position, Mishtadel Lohosis, he's going to try to entice you, Natzeich, and to be victorious over you. So okay, so these are the idea is that there's no way of making any compromises when it comes. You find that in any case in the political world also. When you have two opposite sides in any political issue, you have two countries, right? So what happens? They sit down at the table. It's not to negotiate. Nobody gets what he wants, and everybody gives it halfway or somehow. So that's what happens. So the Yetzer is the same thing. If you start to negotiate with the Yetzer, you're not going to come out ahead. What happens is that you're going to have to give in, and ultimately, once you give in to the Yetzer, it's not even going to end there. The Yetzer is going to completely, totally overpower you. So therefore, the Yetzer has to be totally rejected, and you have to be very firm and stand very strongly on what you believe is right, and not to allow yourself to be taken in. Not allow yourself to be taken in. All right, and I think what we should do is we should take a look here. What we have here, very interestingly, we have here on the sheet that we have, and we find some fascinating subjects regarding what the Rosh is talking about over here in the Orchis Chaim. Okay, so we see on the first words here that we have here of the Rosh. The Rosh says, first of all, again, Laharchik Gaiva Vakas, that a person should distance himself from Gaiva, from haughtiness, arrogance, pride, Vakas, and from anger. So the first item that we have here is from the Iyunim, which these are from Rabbi Cheskel Sarna, who was Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron. As mentioned, because the various Rosh Yeshivas used to give shiurim on Orchis Chaim, and so we have some of it, a little bit that has been recorded, has been written down, and so on. So Reb Cheskel Sarna says as follows, on the words laharchik, right? The Rosh says you should distance yourself from gaiva. The Rosh said also, uge'ar b'yetzer hara, scold that yetzer hara. HaMashiach was trying to deceive you, l'leches b'darkei libcho, was trying to say, just follow the ways of your heart, right? So he's trying to say is what the Yetzer Hara is trying to do, says Reb Cheskel Sarna, that v'liyos mizgoye v'kois l'shem shamayim. Oh, in other words, that this is a hemshech. In other words, when the Rosh says call the Yetzer Hara, who is trying to deceive you to follow darkei libcho, that this is a hemshech, this is a continuation of gaiva v'kas. The Yetzer Hara will try to find ways to encourage you to be involved with gaiva. Do it l'shem shamayim, gaiva l'shem shamayim. Right? Or kas angle Hashem Shemayim. So he says, Volozet. You know, Hashem Shemayim now, when the Yetzer Hara comes, right, in the mantle of Hashem Shemayim, so now you really have to be careful that you don't fall prey to that. So therefore, Lozet, right? His Yitzhar comes such a tactic, he's trying to clothe it in Shem Shemayim. So Giyora Rabba, you have to scold him very powerfully. Levatel Atzoiseho Hamutois, right? To break, he says, the false advice of the Yitzhar. Val taste Eldrochov Klal Bozeb, Bechlal, do not allow him to deceive you. Kidrochecho, Klemer. The pure, the only purest way is completely to distance yourself from Gaiva Vakas. And he points out from the Rambam, look at the Lashon Rambam over here. From the course of a Rambam Hilchos Deis, the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Deis, he writes, Ki gam b'mokoyim shemuchrech v'royol lichoyis. Sometimes there are moments where a person, right, is forced to use some anger, but anger should only be on the outside, not on the inside. Now the Rambam says a person never should get to a situation where the anger really comes from within. Sometimes you have to use situations where you have to come very strong, powerful, to be able to break through something. And because you see maybe something's going very wrong, and the only way to be able, right, the only way to be able to yield power is to come very forceful. So even where chaos is called for, chaos is only called for on the outside, to give that appearance, but not on the inside. It should never be on the inside. That's what the Rambam's lashon is, that even where it's appropriate to show anger, yakas, he says, haponim v'leikas halev. It should only be chaos on the face, but not chaos in the heart. And as far as Gaiva is concerned, Halekvar Posku, Zal, Chazal already have Paskin, they already clearly have told us in Mesachta Soite, Loi Meneva, Loi Miksosa. Gaiva should never has any place, he says, in the life of a Yid. B'chol in Yeshu. Now you'll ask me a question, what do you mean? We have a posik, Umashinema Divrayom, it says, Vayigba Liboy Bedak Hashem. When it comes to Dakim, when it takes up for Kvayt Shemayim, then you have to, Vayigba Liboy, then you have to have Gaiva Salev. Says, Chazasana, that doesn't mean Gaiva pride, it means to be courage. Vayigba Liboy Bedak Hashem does not mean that you can be about Gaiva Lishem Shemayim. It means that you should take courage and rise up, he says, for what's right. Ain't that minyan a Gaiva cloud? The word Vayigba Liboy does not mean Gaiva. When it comes to take up for the honor of Hashem, it means to have courage to do what's right. And he points out a raya from that, from a posik by Yehoshua Shofet. So there is gaiva, right? And there's vayigba libo bedak Hashem. Vayigba libo bedak Hashem is not really gaiva, even though the loshim vayigba. Vayigba means is that he rises up to the occasion. He rises to the occasion, but not with the union of gaiva in the sense of anything of smells of any kind of arrogance, but really you have to rise up, right, and not just fall apart as meekly, but rather you have to take strength and you have to take courage. So that means, he points out here, I have it underlined, he says, I'm Bechoivus Alvov, you see the last line here of this paragraph there, he says, Shar HaKniya Perites. So let's, we have a good, beautiful opportunity to see a few words of the Bechoivus Alvov. The Bechoivus distinguishes between Gaiva and Gaiva. And very, very beautifully, as the Chavis of Ovis said, tells us a little bit of an analytical, right, psychological understanding of the different types of gaiva. There is negative gaivas and so-called positive gaiva, but really it's not gaiva per se. And look at the words. This is in the middle of the Shar Hakniya, which is the gate of humbleness, which the Chavis of Ovis has a whole shar regarding another, to be humble. Okay, so this is in the middle of the essay of the Chavis of Ovis. We have the third item. So let's take a look. Chavis of Ovis says, you might ask, he says, Avolim yitochein lehiskabetz belev hamamin. The question is, right, is it possible lehiskabetz belev hamamin hakniya vahagayve imloy? Question, can humility and pride coexist? They're two opposites. Big question, right? Chavis of Ovis is asking the question, is it yitochein? Is it possible that humility and pride can they coexist within the heart of a Yid who is a believer? Or are they totally, right? Are they totally abhorrent? They are totally disharmonious. They are not homogeneous. You cannot have both in the heart of a Yid. Either you're an onos, right? Or you're a malgaive. Is it possible to have both? That's the question the Chavis of Ovis asks. Right? If you could have hakniya, can you have humility, v'hagayve imloy, or not? Can you have these two?